The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 973. It's the 22nd of January, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Dr. Clifford Gross, Executive Chairman of Tech Capital. TEK is ticker there, and Cliff gives an update on the subsidiary, which is Lucid, which has sold in excess of $1.5 million of Lucid tokens during its ongoing blockchain token generation event. Now, it's worth looking at this because if you look at blockchain at the moment, it's flying, you know, and there are so many companies doing these ICOs. A lot of them have no business. There are 10 companies valued over $10 billion worth, and they're loss-making, no revenue. Now, Tech Capital is valued around 10 million market cap. It has lots of investments in disruptive tech, and has also got this blockchain event happening. And yet, you know, there are lots of companies valued at multiples of this company. So it's worth doing some research, I believe, on Tech Capital. And listen to what Cliff says. They have lots of experts surrounding them in the tech field. A very interesting company. It's TEK. Do your own research, please. Like I said, nothing on this podcast is investment advice. Okay, also on the podcast, Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas, and Gil discusses their recent updates on their oil prospects in Africa and South America. I also have Neil Ritson, Chairman of Solo Oil at Solo Ticker, and Neil discusses the possibility of one of their investments, Helium One, listing on the Australian Securities Exchange. Plus, Malky, as is a Monday, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talking about Angus Energy, Saffron Energy, Coro Energy, which will be Saffron Energy, the change of name, Sound Energy, Echo Energy, Amerisay Resources, and SDX Energy. A lot of energy there. Plus, as always, have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dr. Clifford Gross, Executive Chairman of Tech Capital. That's TEK ticker. Clifford, thanks for joining me again.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, you're in a very exciting space, you know, at the moment, and you have been for a while. And I think some people are cottoning on to this. But before we go into your recent announcement, tell us, Cliff, for someone listening, what is Tech Capital all about?
Tech Capital's mission is to bring disruptive university technology to market that can improve the quality of life and create lasting value. The technologies behind Lucid, one of our portfolio companies, we believe meets this standard.
And you've done an update, sorry, on Lucid, haven't you?
No, Lucid is one of our portfolio companies that has a number of exciting new technologies in the augmented reality space.
And so you're doing augmented reality, and you're also linking to blockchain. So tell us, you do a token sort of generation event. Explain this, please, Cliff, if you could.
Yeah, sure. So Lucid was formed, going back to the portfolio company, Lucid was formed to enrich the visual experience by developing ergonomic smart glasses on a decentralized platform. Mm-hmm. We believe Lucid Lens, which is the name of the smart glasses we're developing, will make it easier to leverage the power and promise of augmented reality and integrate on-demand information within your normal vision. So what you're looking at can have overlaid on top of it some additional information. And this should make, you know, performing just about any task easier, sort of more fun and more productive. So Lucid was developed by Tech Capital as a result of Tech Capital's connections to universities around the world, which enabled us to find a portfolio of patents developed at the University of Central Florida that allow you to make thin asymmetric lenses that you could have with overlays of augmented reality on top of the actual reality you're seeing. And so we formed the company. Lucid was formed in September of last year, so it's a young company, and we hired a really top-notch team of optics and augmented reality experts to develop and commercialize this portfolio of intellectual properties into a practical pair of ergonomic smart glasses.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it was a while back that Tim Cook, of course, head of Apple, said that the big future is not in virtual reality, it's augmented reality. It makes sort of sense. When I first heard it, I didn't quite get it. But it makes sense, because why do you want to be in a different reality? You don't. You want to be in your own reality, but you want it helped by something. It's augmented reality, and that's the way
absolutely.
Forward, you know? And so take us through what Lucid is doing. Because have you sold 1.5 million US of tokens so far on the blockchain?
Yeah, actually, we've passed that number just this weekend. It's, you know, it's a live event. It's a token generation event, and we've been doing it for pretty much the last month and a half, and it's going really well. It's gaining a lot of momentum. People around the world are interested in participating and contributing to what we're doing, and developing smart glasses that are easy to use and ergonomic is really needed by the market. The augmented reality has a tremendous amount of promise, and there are, you know, pretty big expectations as to what it can do economically and how it can help people. But for all of that to happen, there needs to be a platform upon which augmented reality software can be distributed and easily used. And that platform is not the smartphone or the tablet. That platform is glasses. You know, glasses have been around a while. Actually, it's interesting. Glasses were first introduced in Pisa in Italy in 1290. That was 728 years ago. And the basic form factor hasn't changed. There were a couple of iterations, like the pince-nez and the monocle, which were obviously were not successful over time. But the basic form factor for glasses is the same as it is today. And we believe that smart glasses, first and foremost, have to be good spectacles. They have to be proper glasses that are able to incorporate prescriptions, your prescription. You have to be able to select the frame that you want to wear. It's not like other types of devices, like, for example, sports monitors, where you could have three or four versions and a few colors and call it a day. When you're putting something on your face that you have to wear all day long, it has to really be right. It has to look right. It has to feel right. It has to be ergonomic. It has to be easy to use. And so we think the reason why augmented reality glasses has not really taken off yet is because there hasn't been a successful product. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to make this successful ergonomic product. And we acquire the technology that we believe makes it possible. And we have brought on a team of, right now our team has 7 PhDs and a lot of expertise in optics. It's all about the optics. You have to get the optics right to have these thin, lightweight lenses. So we decided to take Lucid onto the blockchain. And there's a number of reasons because of the utility of the token that we're offering. You can actually use the token over time. You'll be able to use it to purchase glasses and the apps that power them. And you'll also be able to do what we call in-lens transactions. So you'll be able to actually purchase what you're looking at right through your glasses. The glasses will be voice-controlled. There'll be a microphone built into the glasses, and there'll be bone-conducting speakers. So you'll be able to basically access your smartphone in your pocket, but, you know, through Alexa or Google Voice or Siri, you'll be able to actually, ask your smartphone through these AI apps to activate the glasses and to do purchases within the glasses. So it's very exciting. We think it's really a remarkable platform. And we're excited about the token sale. It's been, you know, very well received. And the blockchain is really a remarkable innovation from our perspective. Just to give you a little bit of an analogy, I mean, we see it somewhat analogous to the internet itself. You know, initially, the internet basically was able to democratize the access to knowledge and information. And from that, you know, there was a dramatic improvement in the world in terms of people's ability to connect and to learn and to perform things. And we think that the blockchain, in a sense, is an innovation of a significant magnitude that over time will democratize the access to finance, both finance in general for peer-to-peer transactions as well as corporate finance. Now, it's a difficult process to make that magnitude of improvement, but we think that's the potential of the blockchain. It really can democratize finance on a global basis.
Yeah.
And sorry, go ahead. Yeah,
so I was going to say that you talk about the AI, the glasses, and you can make purchases with the glasses. And so you've used, and I mean, those purchases will be done what? With the token, is that right?
Yeah, you could do them. You could do them through like an Apple Pay scenario, or you could do them with a token. The glasses, just to be a little technical for a second, the glasses will have a hardware wallet built into them where you can actually store your tokens in your glasses. I mean, they don't take up any space. It's just, you know, on a chip, obviously, a small chip.
Yeah.
So, so the tokens can be used for peer-to-peer interactions. You could send tokens to your friend. We're building an ecosystem of software developers to develop the apps for the smart glasses. We've already signed up in just 30 days. We've signed up strategic alliances with 9 companies that make software and that want to make their software for our smart glasses when they're available. And it's really interesting. So we think that there'll be basically something like an app store where you can buy apps for the smart glasses. And they'll also, of course, the smart glasses can also utilize apps that are available on the App Store and on Google Play as well.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I remember Google Glass came out, and I thought it was a huge potential, and then they sort of dropped it. And so I have no idea why they did this. There's obviously the potential there. I mean, did you look into that and think, why did they drop that?
Well, actually, yes. This is our opinion of Google Glass. We think it was a remarkable product and a courageous sort of introduction for the field, and it raised the bar and showed everyone that augmented reality was possible. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely spot on. Did it have problems? Yeah, sure, of course it did. It had a narrow field of view. It was a monocle, right? It wore it over one eye. And, and then also it had, you know, certain people found the design to be less than appealing. Mm-hmm. But all that being said, you know, being first is difficult. But I think they did a tremendous service to the augmented reality industry by coming out with that first product. Now, by the way, the product is still available. It's been relaunched. And it's available for specific, like work applications, like if you're doing an inspection application or a factory application or perhaps a medical application, the Google Glass could be quite helpful. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do is go to sort of the next level where you can actually have a pair of really good glasses that overlay the augmented reality information and a pair of glasses that you're willing to and want to wear all day long. And we think that's the next step.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And you're in London, what specifically? You mentioned before we came on to attend some blockchain events.
Yeah, this is actually Blockchain Week in London, if you know that. And there are a number of conferences. There's one at the Tower Bridge Hotel, the Grange Hotel, the Tower Bridge. And there's another one later on in the week at the QE2 Center. So we're participating in both of those conferences, and I'll be speaking at both of those conferences.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Cliff, and if anyone's listening now and likes the space you're in, quite a cutting-edge, tech sort of space, but are not following the story, give them 3 reasons why they should add you to their watch list, please.
Well, we think Tech Capital is really a unique company. We've built this enormous network. It's 4,500 plus institutions around the world that we're able to electronically capture information from as to what technologies their scientists and professors have developed that are available for license and purchase. So basically, that's the world's university idea factory. And we have our finger on that pulse. And that enables us, from that catbird seat, we are able to see opportunities that others, might find quite difficult in uncovering. And Lucid is a perfect example. We found this remarkable portfolio of intellectual properties that we believe enable augmented reality to go to the next level. We acquired it. We set up a portfolio company because we're a UK IP investment firm. That's what we do. When we have an interesting investment to make, we establish a portfolio company. And then we seek to improve that technology and make it ready for market, and then embrace commercial partners. And that's the value add that Tech Capital does and its portfolio companies do. So Lucid is a perfect example of how we're able to create market value from university intellectual property. But we have other portfolio companies as well. We have 6 other portfolio companies, each of them doing interesting things. I won't take the time right now to go into it, but you can go online and visit Tech Capital at techcapital.com, and you could go under our portfolio companies and see all the different innovations that we have acquired the rights to and have established portfolio companies around. So commercializing new discoveries from the world's universities to create market value, to improve quality of life, and to create, you know, good returns over time for our shareholders is what Tech Capital is all about.
Excellent. Do you know what? I'm actually there right now. It's techcapital.com/our portfolio, and I'll put a link to that on the blog there. Cliff, good to chat to you, and like I say, you've got so much going on. Let's hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin. You have a terrific day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil & Gas. That's ECO ticker. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Justin. Always great speaking with you, and belated Happy New Year.
Yes, you too. Yes, it's good to speak to you. And since we last spoke, I suppose there's been two bits of news you've had out, which we should cover, really, because they're quite significant. Before we do that, Gil, for people who haven't heard of you, explain in a nutshell what you're all about, please.
In very short, we are an oil and gas exploration company. We have very prospective assets in both offshore Namibia and offshore Guyana. According to our long-term strategy, we come in early into these kind of stable jurisdictions, prospective for oil, and we take a large stake of each block to start with. We de-risk the play internally using our own financial resources and our technical team, and then we partner with the world's best. We have Tullow Oil as a partner in our block in Namibia, which is drill ready. And we have Tullow Oil as a partner also in our block in Guyana, offshore Guyana, where ExxonMobil made more than 3.5 billion barrels worth of discoveries in the past 2 years. And we are just, we have the block which is right adjacent to their block. Recently, last year, we signed an option agreement with Total, yet another oil major, to come into Guyana. Hopefully this will happen in the upcoming few months after they review the 3D that we shot over the block recently and is being now in final stages of processing. So again, in a nutshell, an oil and gas exploration company focused on prospective oil basins in stable jurisdictions in the Atlantic margin and partner with the world's best.
And the fact that you are partnered with the world's best, it sort of explains that you have a lot of sort of prospective, you know, barrels of oil down there, isn't it?
Yes, in Guyana, we look at the moment, and this is the only public figure that we ever released. We look at around 1 billion barrels of prospective oil. But as I said, we recently completed back in September 2017 a major shoot of proprietary 3D campaign that we did over the block, 2,500 square kilometers. I believe that this survey has the potential to probably uplift the prospectivity on the one hand, and also the number of barrels that we hopefully going to see when we interpret and analyze this shoot. In Namibia, again, in partnership with Tullow, we have one block. We have four blocks in Namibia. One of them is in partnership with Tullow. Over there, we look at a mean prospective resource of around 850 million barrels, so almost 1 billion barrels, where our net exposure to it is 25%. So again, another some 200 million barrels of on our portfolio.
Yeah.
So it's a big elephant play, both offshore Namibia and both offshore Guyana. And thanks God, and in partnership with our partners, we made a lot of progress in the past year and a half, and both blocks, the Cooper block in Namibia and the Orindwig block in Guyana, will be drill ready or are drill ready, and hopefully will be a subject for a drilling campaign in the next 12 months.
Excellent. Okay, the news last week was you entered into phase two of an initial period. Can you explain what this means, Gil?
Yeah, basically the petroleum agreement or production sharing contract in Guyana suggests that the first 4 years are what we call the initial exploration period, and this divided into two phases, phase one and phase two. We were granted with the block back in January 2016. Mm-hmm. So January 2018, we entered officially into phase two. But one should remember that phase two basically suggests that we need to shoot 1,000 square kilometers of 3D. However, because of the prospectivity of the block and the great activity there is there in the region, we already completed the 2,550 square kilometers of 3D last year, still during phase one. So basically we entered into phase two, but we already met all our war commitment and financial obligations during phase one. So just it's an official tick of the box, but that means that we are advancing and progressing. As I said, we are in final stages of, or close to final stages of processing of the 3D, a lot of data that we acquired last year. Hopefully we'll be able to send it over to Total in the next few weeks, and then they will have their time to take the decision to farm into the block. Once they do it, the block is probably drill ready. I read Talos' note 2 weeks ago. They said that basically they are planning to probably drill it in the beginning of 2019, but there is a very good chance that they will make it a bit earlier, and we're going to see a well spot there, hopefully by the end of 2018, so this year.
Excellent stuff. And another bit of news worth mentioning. I know your share price jumped up a bit on this, but ExxonMobil revealed it hit oil in a neighboring block off the coast there in Guyana. I mean, explain a bit about this, if you could, Gil.
Actually, ExxonMobil doesn't stop to hit oil on the neighboring block. We have the adjacent block to the big Stabroek block of Exxon. Exxon to date made 6 discoveries, yeah, and over 3.5 billion barrels of oil. The last discovery, the Ranger well, that was announced 2 weeks ago, is interesting because it's a new play. Whereas all the discoveries to date were made on a tube-dat fan, this last discovery is actually a carbonate play, and that means that just enhance the variety of the plays in the basin, and that enhances the entire prospectivity of the entire Guyana-Suriname basin. So that gives another additional opportunities for us and other companies to actually drill and find some additional oil based on these two plays. I think that Exxon now is planning to drill yet another well, the Pacora 1 well. And much as we know, this well is going to be much, much closer to our block, basically almost on the boundaries of our block. It will be around 6 kilometers southwest of Liza, which is basically on the boundaries of our block. So that will be another well to watch. But as I said, to date, Exxon drilled 13 wells with 12 hits. So the entire area is extremely prospective. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot to watch for in 2018 from us, from Talo, from Total, and the rest of the players that are currently in the basin.
Marvelous stuff. Well, Gil, it's shaping up to be quite exciting down there, isn't it? So if someone's listening and they're not following the story, give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
As I said, we are a small ticket that will give an opportunity to big oil discoveries. We are fully funded, giving a recent partnership with Africa Oil Corp that entered as a 20% shareholder into the company. We are expecting Total to exercise their option in the upcoming few months, and that will add additional capital to the company, and then we will be in a drill-ready position both in Guyana and in Namibia, two major prospects with around 1 billion barrels each, and the net oil to us will be around 200, 300, 400 million barrels. So in a case of success, either in Guyana or in Namibia, or hopefully both, this is a game changer, definitely a game changer and transformational for us and for the shareholders.
Excellent stuff. Gil, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Look forward, Justin. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ritson, Chairman of Solo Oil. That's S-O-L-O, ticker. Neil, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, some significant news out today as regards Solo. But before we get into that, Neil, for people listening to the podcast, new to the podcast or not heard of Solo, give us a brief summary to explain what you're about, please.
Yeah, we're a portfolio investment company. We invest in early stage projects in oil and gas and other commercial gases. And we have a large resource base, which we're working through the monetization of whilst looking for new opportunities all the time.
Yes, and one of those investments is Helium One. Can you explain what Helium One is all about, please, Neil?
Yeah, we have a 15% investment in Helium One. It's a pure play helium explorer in Tanzania. Helium is in global short supply. Demand is rising mainly in medical imaging, and the supply is dwindling. And that makes for some very compelling economics. And we picked out this project in Tanzania with Helium One as a private company as being one of the potential world-scale helium discoveries of the future.
Yeah, and the announcement today is regarding them possibly listing. Explain this, if you could, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they need to fund the drilling campaign, which will happen in the second half of this year. We're working with them on preparing for that. And one of the things they're going to need to do, obviously, is line out some finance. They've taken on board a company called Pact Partners to advise them in Australia with a view to a listing on the ASX. Now, they haven't made a final decision on that, but it does seem to make very good sense. ASX is very good at supporting resource companies, and Solo is already listed here on the London market. So people have access to this opportunity here. So broadening our base into Australia makes good sense.
Yeah, and as far as Solo Oil is concerned, what sort of milestones are you hoping to achieve in the next sort of quarter or so, Neil?
Right. I mean, we're reprocessing some seismic at the moment. That will lead to a new a ranking of the prospects in the second quarter. And Helium One will get a refresh of their competent persons reports on the resource base, probably as part of the process of going to IPO, if that's the final decision, around about mid-year. And then we'll see this drilling, as I said, in the second half of the year. So it's it's all hands to the pump at the moment to make sure that the prospects are there, that we have a drilling campaign all lined out and ready to go, and that the finance comes in at the right time.
Excellent stuff. Well, Neil, if anyone's listening and likes the sound of this but don't have you on their watch list, give them three reasons why they should add you and hit that follow button on your page, please.
Well, we're the only listed company that gives you access to material helium potential. We also have a large resource base in traditional hydrocarbon gas in Tanzania and some oil prospects in the UK. Monetization of those mature investments is ongoing, and there's going to be a strong news flow over the next few months with all of that activity coming together.
Excellent stuff, Neil. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, it's on Mondays, we've got Malky Oil and Gas Sector Authority. You all right, Malky?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Justin. You?
Not too bad. Yes, it's been a wet, cold weekend down here. I mean, it's pretty much the same everywhere. It's horrible, hasn't it?
I know, it's very dreek, Justin, very dreek, as they say.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it sounds right. Okay, you always read off a load of stocks. Who are we starting with today, Malky?
Well, I'm going to start off with Angus this morning. Angus Energy has been a touch disappointing for those people who've been following it. I haven't been that close to it, but I've watched it. Now, this is onshore UK, and they had a disappointment with their earlier well. There's no doubt about that. It looked very exciting, and then just didn't produce quite at the levels of production they'd hoped for. But onwards and upwards, and the company has made a very interesting acquisition this morning, which will move them, I think, strongly ahead, because what they've done is they've farmed into 25% of a thing called the Bulcombe field in West Sussex, to include the operatorship here. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that sellers or farm outers are two companies called Quadrilla and AJ Lucas, who everyone will know. The bottom line here is that Angus have managed to farm into this area in the Weald Basin, which is very much their specialist area. And you'll know that Quadrilla, who've had an exciting 2 or 3 weeks on the licensing front, and Lucas, which is an Australian company, which raised money the other day. And the raising for Lucas was to pay for the development of the Preston New Road, where they've had a very decent find. So I noticed that what's happened is that Angus have done a sort of canny thing, really. I think that they've seen an exciting field, this in this Balcombe field in West Sussex, which is the Weald Basin, which is their specialist area. They can do a test well there pretty soon. I'm expecting this to be horizontal well, extremely successful. There's no fracking involved here, Justin. This is straight up conventional play. And they've done it because Quadrilla and Lucas obviously have been wanting to concentrate on Preston New Road. So Angus have taken advantage of us, or a company or two companies that were looking to get out of the area, or you know, just concentrate on something else in their portfolio.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and I've had Paul on the podcast a couple of times. They are guys that know this stuff, you know. And share price has taken a bit of a hit, hasn't it? I mean, it was at 35p, and now it's down at sort of just around 10p. So massive hit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they understand that they drilled a well which just didn't come out to be what they thought it was going to be, and that was on a geological basis. You know, I'm always prepared to give a company the benefit of the doubt. All wells don't come in. But, you know, these people are kicking ass and getting some things done about it. So, good for them.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right, what's next, Malky?
Well, it's a big day for today for all those retails who've been following the Sound, Saffron, Po Valley, Cora. Call it what you like.
Yeah.
Cora is the new name for what is going to be the combination of Saffron, which is going to take over Po Valley, and all the Sound energy assets in Italy. So Sound will sell their assets there to Saffron, who are acquiring Po Valley. And you'll notice that this is an announcement which has been made before, but now it's a combination of things. And there's some real excitement here, because what they've said here is that, you know, a number of people have worried that, you know, this is going to be a big play, but still involved in Italy. And although there are stale bulls of Italy all over the place, it does take some time to get things done. But don't forget, there was quite a decent discovery made in Italy last week.
Yeah.
But this one says that the new company, where does it say, which is going to be Coro, is going to be to acquire assets, inverted commas, in Europe and elsewhere, and in particular in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Now, this is very exciting because you'll know that James Parsons has got extensive experience in Southeast Asia, and I expect some asset deals, certainly some deals that would probably involve some excitement in the E&P side. They'd be looking for what they call, you know, continuing to look for gas E&P potential, and very exciting it is too. Now, this will involve a placing, which they've announced this morning, of up to £14 million at 4.38p. Punters who take the placing will get warrants convertible at 6.57p. And, of course, there will be an open offer for shareholders as well. These shares are already suspended. Saffron are already suspended.
Yeah.
It's difficult to tell how long it'll be, but it won't be long. My guess would be a couple of weeks. You remember what happened to the Echo shares when they came back? It could be quite fun. This will mean that Coro will be a fully funded vehicle. Lots of excitement as they start to look at stuff in Southeast Asia. I mean, this management in I think what might, yeah, with Sound, Echo and Coro is clearly going to be called something like the Holy Trinity. Because they've got highly experienced very good quality management team in Sound Echo and Cairo. Sound will now be a pure Morocco, East and West Morocco play, run by James Parsons. Fiona McAlay will be running Echo, and Sarah Edmonton will be running Cairo. So you've got two female CEOs, which is exciting in itself, and an exciting play with Cairo becoming the Italian and Southeast Asia play.
Yeah, it's very exciting developments. Okay, cool. And anything else, Malky?
Yeah, a couple, two or three quick ones, really. Wentworth Resources, which I've been quite a lot more positive in the last few months, announced their gas reserves at Menazi Bay last week. I commented on this a couple of weeks ago, but after an increasingly good performance on the production front in 2017, and as we go into 2018 with production guidance increased, a very good effectively CPR on existing resource numbers, so I'm very positive still on Wentworth. Amerisur have announced this morning that they've made an agreement with Ecuadorian company Petro Amazonas. This is to build a pumping station on the other side of the ABA. You remember that Amerisur have a pipeline which runs between Colombia and Ecuador. Now, they're wanting to get the throughput up there as their own production increases. This is going to do the trick. Hopefully it'll be done by the end, or I think October of this year is the date they put in for it. But this will add another 4,000 barrels to go through the pipeline, increase capacity to 9,000 barrels a day at a cost of only $4 million. So their tariff will go up. Mercer have been saying for some time they did 7,000 barrels a day by the end of last year. The plan is 12,000 and then longer term 20,000. Look at, you know, well, just do the sums, see what they're producing. Mm-hmm. At $60 for Brent crude, they're getting a little more than that. They are making decent money and the market just hasn't taken that on board yet. You know, I expect exciting things like this. I interviewed Giles Clark, the chairman, last week. So, exciting news for America. And finally, Justin, just to watch out, I know there are one or two people who feel that SDX, which is a favourite of mine, as you know, has been treading water a little bit. The word has it there's been a big seller in the market. Myself, along with quite a lot of other analysts, are on the way to Morocco tomorrow afternoon. There's a big trip of analysts going out there to look over the process. We're going to get a lot of lectures and analysis from the team on the spot in their office in Rabat, plus a big trip to the field. So I'll be able to report back on that next week. SDX has gone a bit quiet lately, and I think it's one of the big, it's got a big upside here. That's not very good English, but I'm still a massive fan of SDX.
Yeah, well, we know what you're saying, Malky. that's the main thing. Yeah, do you know what? I mean, you know, it's consolidating. It does that. I don't know how long a company does that for. There's no predetermined time, but, you know, there's a decent support level at sort of 48 pence there that you wouldn't think go below that now. But, just needs some sort of significant news. Sometimes, who knows what that is, but sometimes it just does re-rate on something that's seemingly insignificant because people have been sort of buying again frustrated and all the bears are out.
Yeah, you know? I think, also this technical of a bit of stock coming into the market doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous stuff, Malky. Listen, don't work too hard down there, okay?
Well, I try not to. You know, it's a difficult job, but somebody has to do it.
Exactly, fella. And make sure you get that sun cream on.
Okay.
Malky, excellent stuff, and we'll speak next week, fella.
Look forward to it, Justin. Bye now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Fast Forward Innovations, that's FFWD. At four, Immu Pharma, IMM. At three, Safran Energy, SRON. At two, Greatland Gold, GGP. And number one, most followed company, is United Oil and Gas, UOG. I did write a blog about them on the weekend, and I think they're worth doing research on. They've not been listed long. I had Brian on the podcast on Friday, and listed in July, and already four deals they've done, which includes seven licenses, and there's so many plays within that that I think, you know, and they had good news last week on their Italian gas operations, which is the flow rates there exceeded expectations, so that's revenue coming in, and the ex-Tello team. But I mean, have a read of the blog, I think you'll like that, and I'll be very impressed with what they've done so far, and they're very ambitious. And if you don't know anything about Tello, and they are ex-Tello, Tello Energy, or Tello Oil I should say, it went from having no money, starting with nothing. The guy who started it had no oil and gas sector experience in 1985, started then. And by 2007, they were the 30th biggest company in the FTSE 100, valued at $17 billion. So so they've had lots of experience in a high-growth company. And I think they're trying to replicate that success. Worth putting on your watch list. They're only about a 12 million market cap. UOG, that is. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. I just had Clifford on, Tech Capital, TEK, update on Lucid blockchain token generation event. At four, Amerisa Resources, AMER, Ecuador update. At three, Saffron Energy, SRON, signing of agreements and new strategy. At two, Sound Energy, as disposal of Italian portfolio. And number one most liked RNS came from Angus Energy, ANGS, agreement to acquire 25% of Balcom license, as Malky talked about earlier. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.